Good morning. If you would join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word to lead to you. We thank you that we may study it, to grow in our knowledge of you. We'd ask your Spirit would be with us now, be with me as I speak, that it be your words, not mine, and be with those who are listening, that you might transform us into who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So begins Psalm 119. This is a psalm of delighting in dependent, diligent, dedicated obedience to our faithful God. There's much to be learned in this psalm, and it's my hope that you will see enough of it to desire to delight in meditating on it, in studying it, and in understanding the God who is the target or the object of this psalm. This psalm is a story of relationship to the Lord's word, the law, the Lord's law. It's also a story of relationship to the Lord himself. But first comes that relationship to the Lord's word. In this psalm, you'll see a number of synonyms for God's word, each having a different shade of meaning, but taken together, they represent the sum total of God's word. And God's word for today is given to us in this, the Bible. When the psalmist wrote this, it was a much smaller portion, but we've had a greater revelation now. Some of the words that are used: Torah, meaning direction or instruction, the law. This word has lost some of its meaning in translation. When I hear law, I think very narrow commandments. C.H. Dodd puts it this way: the Torah is an underlying principle of life and action, rather than merely a narrow and legalistically perceived code of mandates. So it's this prescription of how to run your life, principles that will help you. You'll hear the word testimonies, meaning to bear witness, precepts, which are charges and instructions, statutes, meaning to hew or to cut out in stone, inscribe, basically decrees or prescriptions, commandments, tones of authority are behind that, the right to give orders, promise, his word, and his ways. I personally think as you take this whole sum of things together, his ways is a good way to describe it, that what you're hearing about are his ways which describe something. When you talk about someone and you know them and you know their ways, you usually know that person. Natural man sees laws as restrictions, impediments. He sees them as no farther than himself and sees rules as limiting his ability to exercise his will. God's servants sees rules as a help, aligning to something greater than himself, as serving his master, as a delight, as lifestyle obedience, of love and of hope. Continually seeing the person who decreed the law. It's not just the law, it's the person behind the law. The law in this psalm is the vehicle the Lord uses to lead to himself. We see in verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. His testimonies are special revelation from our Maker. In verse 73, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. These commandments, this law, his word, is special revelation to us about himself, that we can may know more about our Maker than just what we know by observing the world around us. It's interesting in this psalm that it is not the law or the Lord that is the focus of the psalm. It's kind of hard to believe when you see the number of times those words are used, law, commandments, statute, precepts. But if you look at it, what's really the focus is the psalmist or the author's or our relationship to the law. And this relationship is one of delight. It's one of dependency. It's one of diligence and one of dedication to that law. We see dependency in verse all throughout this. You don't see the word dependency, but when you just absorb the psalm together, you can't help but feel the psalmist's dependency on the law and on the Lord. In verse 43, for my hope is in your rules. 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Without your word, I don't know how to act. I don't know how to go. I'm dependent on it. It's one of diligence. In verse 4, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. It's one of steadfastness. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. It's one of wholeheartedness. You're totally behind this. With my whole heart I seek you, in verse 10. In verse 34, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. It's something that is ongoing. Verse 44, I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. It is habitual. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. It's a relationship of continuous ardent effort and pleasure in the Word. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. It's a relationship of immediate obedience to the word. There's no procrastination in this. It's one I have a problem with. Verse 60, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. When you read this, ask yourself, what is your relationship to the Lord's Word? So this is a story that's a relationship to the Lord's Word, but even more importantly to that than that, it is a story of the relationship to the Lord. It's a personal relationship in which the author is dependent on the Lord. Chronologically in this psalm, you first see the attention on the law, and then the Lord. But priority-wise, the focus is on the Lord first, and then the law. Chronologically, you see in verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimony, who seek with Him with a whole heart. So first it's the law, leading to the Lord. But in verse 4, we see an entire switch in this psalm. It goes from the law to you and yours. Throughout this entire psalm, you will now see the words, you and yours in every verse except two. The focus being on you, the Lord. This becomes intensely personal as a psalm. It becomes your law, not the law. If you think about this, all right, there's the law out there. I have to do that. That's different from your law, where you're thinking of the person behind that law. It's always a focus on who is behind the law for the psalmist. So it's a story of relationship to the law, the Word. It's a story of relationship to the Lord. But it's also a story of struggle. A story of struggle with yourself or himself. You see this psalm going along in wholehearted devotion. And then all of a sudden you see this confession of going astray. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Where did that come from? Here he's been talking about diligently keeping the law, wholeheartedness, and then you see him talking about going astray. He's human. He's like you and me. He struggles. He knows this desire to delight. But there's also this tendency to go astray. And he's dependent upon the Lord not to go astray. He's also in a struggle with enemies, the insolent, the wicked, persecutors. This is a person who is at war in this world. It's not a peaceful psalm in that respect. It's a peaceful psalm when you get to the Lord. So this is a story also of relying on the strength of the Lord to get through this war with peace. And in this we continually see dependency on the Lord. Verse 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. There is peace in this war by going to the Lord. Throughout this, God is his lifeline in life, throughout struggles. In verse 25, we see, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. 107, I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. 166, I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Throughout this psalm, we see that God is a powerful sovereign. He is the actor in this psalm, the one who causes things to happen. The psalmist is the recipient. He is the requester of help. And then he is the testifier to God. We see this action throughout the psalm, but there are a couple of sections, stanzas, that really bring this out. Daleth and Hay. It's verses 25 and 40. Watch what the psalmist, or listen to what the psalmist is asking of the Lord. Give me life according to your word. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Give me understanding. Lead me in the path of your commandments. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Confirm to your servant your promise. Turn away the reproach. In your righteousness, give me life. God is the actor. He's the one the psalmist is dependent upon. He's the one we depend on. We are the recipient of those actions. So Psalm 119 is a story of relationships to the Lord's law. It's a story of relationship to the Lord himself. It's a story of the struggles and reliance on the strength of the Lord to get peace in the middle of those struggles. Let's meet the psalmist now, the human author of this psalm. The psalmist is not some wet-behind-the-ears, idealistic theologian in a seminary. He doesn't sit in some ivory tower thinking up psalms all day long. He is rather someone who is facing life's choices, difficulties, and persecutions. And in this, he is committed to following his Lord's way. And this prayer, this psalm, is a result of that life, that struggle. It comes out of that relationship. The psalmist is possibly a young man, we don't really know, but in verse 9 it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." In verse 100 it says, "I understand more than the aged, I keep your precepts." So it might be that he's a young man. Throughout the psalm, it is important to remember this is a man who is embroiled in affliction, severe affliction, to the point of death. Verse 23, "Even though princes sit plotting against me." 25, "My soul clings to the dust, give me life." 83, "For I have become like wineskin in the smoke." 85, "The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They have almost made an end of me in the earth. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me. The wicked have laid a snare for me. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. Princes persecute me without cause." He is embroiled in conflict, and yet, when he opens the psalm, he says, "Blessed is the man." He's thinking about blessing in the midst of affliction. Verse 56, "This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts." 143, "Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight." 92, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." So here's a key thought for you. Affliction may not go away, but delight in the law, in our Lord, can sustain and nourish us in that affliction. The psalmist is a person who is dedicated to following God's ways. His desire is for God's ways to be his ways. And in that, he is declaring his allegiance to that person, dedicated to him, by accepting the Lord's ways. Verse 59, "When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies." But he's not perfect. He has strayed from God's ways in the past, but has been blessed by God's affliction to bring him back. He sees this affliction as good, as God's way of teaching him. 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." 68, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statute." The actions of God flow from who God is. In this case, God is good. Goodness flows from God. God does good. This is something that he holds on to. He goes on in verse 71, "It is good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Notice even here, his emphasis is on good. It's not, "I was afflicted, that's good." It was, "It is good, I was afflicted, that I learn your statutes." 75, here's the zinger, "In faithfulness you have afflicted me." But he goes back to who God is. God is good and does good. He knows that this affliction is good for him and that he learned his statutes out of that. He has faith in a good God through that affliction. That might sound like some of the verses we know in the New Testament, where God disciplines those he loves. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Another key thought, God is good and does good. This thought and a diligent commitment to Him through His Word sustains us in trials. Our psalmist is a humble man, recognizing his dependence on God. He relies on Him for his ability to walk through the difficulties of life. It recognizes that life is difficult, and he relies on Him for that. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. He recognizes there that these commandments are from his maker, his master. This is kind of like the instruction book from someone who makes something. Doesn't it make sense to follow those instructions? Not if you're a guy, you throw them away. In this case, the psalmist says, no. Hold on to those. They'll help you understand purpose, and they'll help you achieve blessing. So this is the psalmist and the situation he was in when he delights in obedience. We don't really know who the psalmist is. There's a lot of guesses on this. But if you want to think of someone who tends to match this, think of Daniel. Daniel was a young man who was ripped out of his homeland, taken away by conquerors, put in exile, forced to serve a foreign king, and once he started serving that foreign king very well by adhering to the Lord's commandments, he started being persecuted by other princes who were jealous of his position, who sought out to kill him. And yet he remained dedicated to the Lord's word throughout. So if it helps you to have a person to think of when you read this, Daniel's not a bad person to think of when you read this. But I'd urge you to think of some others who maybe didn't write it, but who might have read this psalm. Another person might be Jesus. Think of him as he's growing up, reading this psalm, learning and growing. We think of Jesus as God and man. We think, well, if he was God, he knew everything right away. Well, he was man, and he had to learn. The scriptures tell us that he grew in knowledge. In the case where he was left behind by his family in Jerusalem, Luke 2:49, he said to his family when they finally found him, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And then later in verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." He was in his Father's house. What's in his Father's house? A scroll. Learning the scrolls. He'd been learning the scrolls all his life, memorizing them. Psalm 119 is part of that. He increased in wisdom. So think of him as you read this psalm. But also think of yourself and your relationship to the Word as you read the psalm. Another actor in this psalm is our faithful God. What do we learn about our faithful God? Firstly, we see that this is an intensely personal prayer. It is always not to the God, but to you. Verse 4 is the transition from Yahweh to you and yours. When it refers to you, it is Yahweh. It's in every verse except 2 after verse 4. This is a conversation between the psalmist and his God, not the God. So God is the object, not the law itself. The law is the vehicle. It's possible to get to the point where all we do is look at His Word and appreciate His Word and forget the man, the God, who stood behind and gave us this Word. That's where we get to idolatry. And if you combine that together with the Bible, you can get to bibliolatry, where all you're doing is worshiping the Word instead of the God who stands behind the Word. Think of what we go to every week. We go to a Bible study. Do you think of that as a God study? We should be going to the Bible study, a study of God's Word, to learn about God, a God study. That's why we go to the Bible, not to just learn the words in here, but to learn about the God and delight in Him. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart. We always keep in mind who spoke these testimonies. In John 5, 39 through 40, Jesus is telling the Jews, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." The Jews were starting to lose that. They were searching the Scriptures, thinking the answer was just in the Scriptures. "And it is they that bear witness about me." Good to search the Scriptures because they bear witness about Jesus. "Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Again, the idea of the Scriptures is to lead to Jesus, not just stop there reading them. George Zimmick, an instructor that I've had the privilege of listening to, says it this way: "The purpose of knowing the Word of God is to know the God of the Word." The purpose of knowing the Word of God is to know the God of the Word. That God is Yahweh. You is Yahweh. I am the one who is self-existent, the one whose name was a personal name given to Moses. And Yahweh has His ways. Those ways are presented to us in His laws, His statutes, His precepts. They're all expressions of His ways. In verse 1 we see, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." There's His Word. Verse 3, right after that, "who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways." His Word, His ways. We walk in them. They're the same thing. His ways are reflections of Him. You are good and do good. Yahweh is the God of creation. Verse 73, "Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Your commandments." The psalmist's desire is to understand, to truly learn God's commandments, not just rote recital. Imagine Jesus again reading this psalm and reading this part about "give me understanding" as a young man, then praying that as a young man. In Matthew 7:28, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, "And it happened, when Jesus finished these words, that the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He was teaching them like one who had authority and not like the scribes." That word authority is more than just position. It implies understanding, demonstrating His understanding of God's Word. And He got that through a dependency on the Lord and praying for it. Yahweh is gracious. Verse 58, "Be gracious to me according to Your promises." 64, "The earth is full of Your grace." Yahweh is merciful. "Let Your mercy come to me that I may live, for Your law is my delight." "Great is Your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to Your rules." Yahweh is faithful. "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." Yahweh is righteous and just. "I know, O Lord, that Your rules are righteous. Righteous are You, O Lord, and right are Your rules." Yahweh and His judgments are to be feared. "Confirm to Your servant Your promise that You may be feared. My flesh trembles for fear of You. I am afraid of Your judgments." Yahweh is the teacher of moral things. Verse 160, "The sum of Your word is truth, and every one of Your righteous rules endures forever." Yahweh teaches knowledge, judgment, and understanding. 166, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in Your commandments." 104, "Through Your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." "Teach me" runs throughout this psalm. It's in verse 12, 26, 29, 33, 64, 66, 68, 71, 102, 108, 124, 135, and 171. At the beginning and at the end and everywhere in between. Teach me. Our Lord is a teacher. We need to go to Him. That's our dependency. Affliction. He uses different manners of teaching. He uses His Word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Your statutes. But He also uses affliction and combined with His Word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep Your Word. You are good and do good. Teach me Your statutes. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn Your statutes. And in faithfulness, You have afflicted me. Affliction drives us to the Word, and the Word gives us life. Yahweh is the source of life. And in that life, He gives us delight, comfort, and hope, and steadfast love. Delight. If Your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have given me life. Comfort. This is my comfort in affliction, that Your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from Your law. When I think of Your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Your steadfast love comforts me according to Your promise to Your servant. Hope, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my life, out of my mouth, for my hope is in Your rules. Steadfast love, let Your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, Your salvation according to Your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in Your word. This is the person our psalmist delights in having obedience to. But what is that delighting? Delighting is taking pleasure in. And when you take pleasure in, taking pleasure goes hand in hand with honor. Typically, we return honor to something that we delight in. When we delight in something, we give priority to it. We return honor and priority to that thing. In this psalm, it's a reciprocal relationship. The psalmist delights in the law. He gets from the law. But then he gives testimony back to the law and gives priority to it in his life. That's part of delighting. We delight in it, we get something from it, but then we get back to it. We make it a priority. The psalmist delights in following His ways, Yahweh's ways. In the way of Your testimonies, I delight as in all riches. I will delight in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Lead me in the path of Your commandments, for I delight in it. For I find my delight in Your commandments, which I love. He even delights in the midst of affliction. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep Your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in Your law. Let Your mercy come to me that I may live, for Your law is my delight. If Your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but Your commandments are my delight. I long for Your salvation, O Lord, and Your law is my delight. But it's not our natural way to delight in the law. Rather, man is usually focused on selfish gain and looking at worthless things. And the psalmist even recognizes that it is the affections of his heart that have to change. And only the Lord can change those affections, those things that we put closest to us. And he says in verse 36, "Incline my heart to Your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in Your ways." He recognizes that it is the Lord that changes the affections of our heart. We can't do it ourselves. Let me give you some final thoughts at the end of the psalm. There are three things that do not end. The first is persecution and affliction for this psalmist. Even as late in this psalm as verse 161 and 166, you see a verse like, "Princes persecute me without cause, and I hope for Your salvation." So that affliction is still there. But in the midst of that affliction, something else does not end, and that's his diligent, steadfast, lifelong, dedicated, habitual devotion to your word and the delight in you that comes from your word. In verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. And the third thing doesn't end, and that is his humbleness and dependence on God to keep from straying, knowing that by himself he is vulnerable. In 176, the last verse of this, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I think Jesus doesn't say this as a summary, but he did summarize verse or 119 very well when he was tempted by Satan. And he answered back to Satan in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's essentially what Psalm 119 is saying. Stick to this law. Live by that, and you will honor God. Jesus summarizes the law in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And he says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I mentioned that this psalm does not focus on what the law is. It focuses on our relationship to the law. And that relationship is obedience. But Jesus also says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So throughout this entire thing, he's been talking about obeying, and Jesus says, if you love me, and that's the first law, we're right back to, it really did talk about what should we be doing. We need to love him, we need to obey him. If you would do me a favor, stand up for a second, pick up your Bibles, put them above your head, swap hands, put it in the other hand, stretch out, sit down, and now I will read Psalm 119 with you. May we delight in this. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. Your soul is consumed with longing for all, for your rules. Excuse me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust, give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your promises give me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame, because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed, firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation, for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding, that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, for your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Father, we thank you that in your graciousness, in your mercies, you have given us your word that we might know more about you. We thank you for affliction when it comes, that we might go to your word and depend on it and know that you are good and you do good and that you teach us through your word, through affliction. Help us to learn, give us understanding, give us delight when we meditate on your word. Change our hearts that we might seek you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.